Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off in Russia, where the field is now set for the semifinals at the FIFA Confederations Cup football tournament. In the first semifinal on Wednesday, Chile will challenge European champion Portugal in Kazan, Russia. And in the second semifinal on Thursday, Mexico will meet reigning World Cup champion Germany in Sochi, Russia. The winners of the two matches will then travel to St. Petersburg, Russia, where the final will be played on Sunday, July 2nd. The FIFA Confederations Cup is described as a dress rehearsal for the World Cup, a chance for organizers to test venues and infrastructure. But our VOA football fans will remember, whereas the FIFA Confederations Cup features 8 teams, next year's World Cup in Russia will have 32 teams. Organizers are also testing video assistant referee technology during FIFA Confederations Cup matches, and it's proven to be controversial. Germany defeated Cameroon Sunday 3-1 after a case of video replay mistaken identity that left the African champions angry and irritated. Reporter Samson Omale has that story, as well as other African football news.
Cameroon crashed out of the competition following a 3-1 defeat to Germany at the first Olympic Stadium in Sochi, Russia on Sunday evening. As a result, the FIFA World Cup holders advanced as Group B winners, with Chile ending as runners-up following their 1-1 draw with Australia. The African champions played the final 25 minutes with 10 men following the controversial sending-off of Ernest Mobuka. Hugo Broz, coach of the Indomitable Lions, says a video assistant referee makes decision taken by the center referee a little bit confusing.
I think everyone is confused, also me. I didn't know what happened there. First of all, I saw a red card, then it was a yellow card, then he came to the jury next to the pitch, then he went again to the player, then he went again a red card for another player. I don't understand it for the moment either, so I have to see again what happens on television. But I think this is something for the referee himself. He and he alone can explain what happens there at that moment.
SuperSport United were crowned Nedbank Cup champions for the second straight season after they thrashed Orlando Pirates 4-1 in the final at the Moses Mabhida Stadium in Durban, South Africa. And now to Ghana, where Ghanaian international defender Samuel Nkom has been banned from all football-related activity for a year by world governing body FIFA. The 28-year-old, who plays for Bulgarian club FC Vireya, was punished for refusing to pay compensation due to his former agent Andy Evans, worth $65,000 based on an agreement between the two parties. Nkom failed to pay the agent his full share after he was transferred from Ukrainian side Dnipro 3 years ago. And to North Africa, where Al Ahly of Egypt club president Mahmoud Tahir has confirmed that coach Hossam El Badri will remain in charge of Egyptian club giant in the next season. Al Ahly lifted the Egyptian Premier League trophy at Petro Sports Stadium after a 2-2 draw with ENPI on Saturday. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Sunny side.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa, a conversation with the Voice of America director, Amanda Bennett, on her recent trip to Africa and VOA's Africa initiatives, including meeting with African government officials, affiliate executives, media members, journalism students, and the African youth.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In more football news, USA head coach Bruce Arena has named a 23-man roster for the CONCACAF Gold Cup tournament, a regional championship tournament for teams in North America, Central America, and the Caribbean. 16 of the 23 players compete in Major League Soccer. Coach Arena describes his squad as a nice blend of experienced veteran players and a good group of newcomers as well. In terms of those experienced veteran players, midfielder Alejandro Bedoya, who plays for the Philadelphia Union in MLS, has the most international experience with 60 international appearances. The CONCACAF Gold Cup tournament will kick off July 7th and will be played at 14 venues across the United States. The final is scheduled for July 26th at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. Defending champion Mexico has won the Gold Cup a record 7 times. As I mentioned earlier, the Mexicans will meet reigning World Cup champion Germany Thursday in the second semifinal at the FIFA Confederations Cup tournament. Getting back to the Gold Cup, the United States has won the trophy 5 times, with its last title coming in 2013. As part of its tune-up for the Gold Cup, the USA will host Ghana on Saturday, July 1st, in an international friendly to be played in East Hartford, Connecticut. Kick it, Misha!
Kick it!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America. Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Turning to tennis, Swiss star Roger Federer has warmed up for next week's Wimbledon Championships by winning a record 9th Halle Open grass court title in Germany. The 35-year-old Federer looked in fine form as he defeated Germany's Alexander Zverev in straight sets 6-1 and 6-3 in the final. Roger Federer is a 7-time Wimbledon champion, with his last title coming in 2012. Roger decided to skip the recent French Open in Paris and rest and prepare for Wimbledon. Federer lost in his first comeback match in Stuttgart last week, and he says beating Zverev is a big confidence booster.
I was doubting myself a little bit, I must admit, because losing first round, you know, for the first time in 15 years on grass was always going to shake me a little bit, and it did, so I'm happy to react right away and let that be forgotten and actually move on and remind myself that I actually can play well on grass, so it gives me great confidence, and I'm like on cloud nine right now after the 9th win here in Halle. It's a wonderful feeling to win here again, because I'm not sure if I'll ever get a chance to win this again, so it's important to enjoy this one.
Roger Federer also enjoyed winning the first set against Zverev in such convincing fashion.
Look, it's great to get off a good start in the finals and then remind yourself that you've been playing good tennis all week. You start swinging freely, things start clicking, you realize your opponent's under pressure and you keep pressuring him and making that crucial break in the second set, and then, you know, just somehow get it done, keep taking chances. And on grass, it pays off, and it did, so I couldn't be more pleased. I played unbelievable finals, because last year I lost in 3 sets to Zverev. Today, I was able to beat him, so it's a great turnaround for me personally as well.
Swiss tennis star Roger Federer speaking in Halle, Germany, where he won a record 9th grass court title. In another Wimbledon warm-up event, Feliciano Lopez of Spain saved a match point as he came from behind to beat Marin Cilic of Croatia in 3 sets at Queen's Club in London. The final score from the British capital, 4-6, 7-6, and 7-6. It's being described as the biggest title of Lopez's career. Talk to us, Feliciano!
You can imagine, no, how happy I am right now after winning this title. It's been a long wait, as I said in the ceremony. No, I've been waiting so long for this trophy, and it's also tough, you know, to win after the finals in 2014. You know, losing with a match point today. Also, I was serving for the match, didn't make it. So my thoughts were on that match again, no, on 2014 finals, and I think I was strong enough to handle the situation at that moment. And then, you know, happily I ended up winning.
Feliciano Lopez says winning in front of his parents at Queen's Club makes him even happier. Like Roger Federer, Lopez is 35 years old, and he says winning the title is a nice springboard ahead of Wimbledon.
It's the best preparation I can have, of course. Then, you know, tennis is, it can change from one day to another so quick, and you don't know what's going to happen in a week, but hopefully I can still play in some of my best tennis still, and I have to see the draw first, but it is definitely my best preparation winning here. There's no better preparation going into Wimbledon.
Spanish tennis player Feliciano Lopez speaking in London. Another nice Wimbledon warm-up story. 2-time Wimbledon champion Petra Kvitova won the Birmingham women's title in England, her first title since her playing hand was injured in a knife attack at her home. Kvitova defeated unseeded Australian Ashley Barty in 3 sets, 4-6, 6-3, and 6-2. Kvitova was playing only her 2nd tournament and 7th match since she was attacked last December. It was the Czech player's first grass court final since her Wimbledon title in 2014. In golf, American star Jordan Spieth has won the Travelers Championship Tournament in Connecticut in spectacular fashion. Spieth knocked in a 60-foot sand shot for birdie from a greenside bunker to beat fellow American Daniel Berger on the first playoff hole. Spieth talks about his big shot.
put the same kind of swing as the other bunker shot. I was just at a little different angle, and it took a little right bounce and a little cut spin, and it took the, you know, rolled with the hill. I jumped up and saw it coming down right on the pin, and I went nuts. That was fun. That was, I don't know how many or if I'll ever have a moment equivalent to that again, something like that to win a tournament. But yeah, that was very memorable, and we certainly soaked it in.
Jordan Spieth soaked in his playoff victory after he and Berger finished at 12 under par, 268. The 23-year-old Spieth also became the second youngest player in the modern era, behind Tiger Woods, to post 10 PGA Tour victories. Jordan Spieth received a first-place prize of $1,224,000 for his title in Connecticut. I mentioned Tiger Woods. Tiger's ongoing treatment for how he manages pain medication will prevent him from attending this week's Quicken Loans National Tournament here in the Washington area. The tournament is staged by and benefits the Tiger Woods Foundation. Tiger's publicist says the American golf star continues to receive ongoing professional help after he was arrested last month for driving under the influence of drugs near his home in Florida.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcast. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com. VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @VOASunnySports. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Monday?
Well, let's talk about that story you were just mentioning. Petra Kvitova, 6 months after that home invasion, was feared that she would never be able to play tennis again professionally because of the severity of those injuries to her left hand. And her second tournament back, and she wins it in Birmingham. So
what a comeback.
What a comeback. People saying on social media, this is what courage and perseverance look like. And not just from the fans, a lot of the other players on the tour saying those exact things, saying it's great to have her back, great to see her on the court winning on a surface where she's had quite a lot of success in the past. Of course, she's a 2-time Wimbledon champion, so grass has always been a good surface for her. So a lot of questions now. Could this mean that she could make a surprise run at Wimbledon and capture her third Wimbledon title? So a lot of that anticipation happening online. However, she's announced that she's pulled out of the tournament at Eastbourne, which is the last grass court warm-up tournament before Wimbledon, because of an abdominal injury. So there is some question as to whether she'll be well enough to play Wimbledon. So some concern about her health, not so much with the hand, but with the abdomen. But fans hoping that she'll be there at Wimbledon, hoping that she maybe can take this next week and a half to recover, and then be ready for those grass courts there at the All England Lawn Tennis Club.
Andrew, with Kvitova kind of 50-50 at this point for Wimbledon, do you see it as another wide-open competition on the ladies' side?
I think so. I think, you have Victoria Azarenka, I believe, is coming back. You have potentially Petra Kvitova, who is, as we said, done very well on the grass. You have a lot of newcomers, Agnieszka Radwanska, a Polish player who was a previous finalist at Wimbledon. Angelique Kerber, still number one in the world. She could come back and win her first Wimbledon title. So lots of instances of women who are, I think, going to be able to make a run at it, and maybe another first-time Grand Slam winner, as we saw at the French Open. On the men's side, however, I think everybody's putting their money on Roger Federer, thinking that he could make a good run at it, which would be amazing if the first three majors of the year we have Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, and then Roger Federer again winning. It's kind of a throwback, I think, a little bit. So that's what the fans are saying on social media. Throwback to the great Rafael Nadal, Roger Federer era.
I mentioned Feliciano Lopez also winning Wimbledon warm-up tournament, Andrew. Also the same age as Roger Federer, 35, which is typically not the prime of a tennis player's career.
No, and the fact that we're seeing so many of these older players now extending their careers and playing into their mid-30s, I think speaks to a lot of the training, a lot of the health elements that we've seen improve over the years, that players are able to take care of themselves better, they're able to protect themselves from injury, and so they're able to have longer careers.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, speaking of one tennis player who's had quite a long career off the court and on as a broadcaster and as a tennis player, John McEnroe. He's releasing his autobiography called But Seriously, and he's doing a press tour for that. Now, he was on the radio the other day talking about different tennis players, and Serena Williams came up, and he said, Serena Williams is unequivocally the best female tennis player ever, no question, greatest of all time. But the reporter asked him, well, why would you qualify and say greatest female player? Why wouldn't you say greatest player of all time? And that's when McEnroe said that if Serena was playing on the men's circuit, she would be ranked around 700 in the world by his estimation, and that men who are ranked 700s in the 700s could easily beat her. Now, this created a lot of controversy on social media, people calling the comments sexist, saying it's insulting not just to Serena, but to all female athletes. And wondering why he has to disparage, I know you love this term, her goatness. Serena has won more Grand Slam titles in the Open era than anyone else, male or female, after she bested Steffi Graf's record of 22. She sits at 23 now. So people wondering, why did McEnroe have to even go there? She's clearly the greatest in tennis by that measure. So why did he have to qualify that? But one person pointed out, he said, maybe don't push John McEnroe to say that Serena's the best player if you don't want his honest assessment. Be prepared for what he has to say. Some others saying, who cares what John McEnroe has to say? Serena's the best and that's it. And then my favorite, people using that famous McEnroe line, you cannot be serious, to describe his comments.
Well, what else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, let's move from the tennis court to the basketball court. Of course, we're going to have later on this evening the NBA Awards and lots of attention on the Most Valuable Player Award. I think this tweet sums it up. Somebody said, today is the day Thunder fans have been waiting 12 months for. The King of the Prairie, Russell Westbrook, receives his MVP. So that's the conventional wisdom going into tonight, that Russell Westbrook is far and away the favorite after that amazing record-breaking season where he had all those triple-doubles. But we'll see tonight. Lots of awards going to go out tonight at that ceremony. One person who is maybe getting some attention for the wrong reasons, however, in the NBA is Victor Oladipo. The Oklahoma City Thunder guard was hosting a basketball camp in Indiana, which is where he went to college. He played college ball at the University of Indiana. And a video put online shows him playing one-on-one with one of the 12-year-old participants in this camp. Well, this kid that he's playing against dribbles the ball back and forth before he passes it straight through Oladipo's legs, gets the ball, makes the layup. So people saying Oladipo got crossed over by a kid. So a little embarrassing for him. Maybe he needs to spend some more time in the gym working out and trying to improve his skills. But the joke's on them because Oladipo has a picture that he put up. It's a split shot. On May 15th, he looks a little doughy. He's posing with his shirt off. On June 8th, the photo has him ripped, six-pack abs. People say he's ready to play. In just 3 weeks in the gym, he's already just got shredded. He just looks great. So fans saying even if he got crossed over, he's got a better body than any of them will ever have, commenting on the internet, and also the success of being an NBA player. So a mixed bag for Victor Oladipo. A little embarrassing, but a great moment for that kid, though. He gets to cross over on one of his stars.
Great
How
moment.
How cool is that?
Very cool, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the June 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Misha. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The African Union is an indispensable partner to both America and the United Nations in promoting peace and security to Africa, said U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley. Speaking at a U.N. Security Council briefing on U.N.-AU cooperation on June 15th, Ambassador Haley remarked, "The African Union has a unique capacity to anticipate crises, mediate conflicts, and deploy troops and police on short notice. They do this, moreover, in some of the most challenging environments in the world. We applaud the increasing leadership the AU has exercised in contributing to peace operations and battling terrorist and insurgent groups." In Somalia, she noted, the AU quickly deployed to provide security for a fledgling government in 2007. A decade later, thanks to the bravery and courage of the African Union Mission in Somalia troop and police contributing countries, Somalia is on a gradual path toward stability and peace. In Darfur, the AU partnered with the UN to stabilize a complex conflict, and across the continent, the AU is partnering with sub-regional organizations and countries to respond to emerging and complex threats, from tense electoral transitions in West Africa to Boko Haram in the Lake Chad Basin. Progress has been made, but better cooperation is needed in planning operations, she said. We welcome the AU's efforts to put in place effective mechanisms to respect human rights in all of its missions, she noted. This will require the creation of rigorous procedures for screening and selection of troops and police, followed by training and monitoring of personnel. Violations and abuses must be reported and independently investigated. Perpetrators must be held accountable. On this, there will be no compromise. The men and women who plan and conduct peace operations are given a great responsibility, said Ambassador Haley. People in the most vulnerable of situations rely on them for their safety, often for their lives. It is essential that we get this right.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next, Straight Talk Africa, a conversation with the Voice of America director, Amanda Bennett, on her recent trip to Africa and VOA's Africa initiatives, including meeting with African government officials, affiliate executives, media members, journalism students, and the African youth.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.